series called A Journey Through Luke, and basically what we're doing, it's not quite a survey of the book of Luke. It's 8 weeks long, and so we're just hitting some highlights. And this morning, we're going to talk about something very serious, I guess, or maybe impactful. Maybe you're new to Christianity or new to the Bible or new to what we call the gospel or the good news of Jesus. And so this morning, I want to just from the jump tell you this. When you give your life to Jesus, he requires it all. Everything. There's no half following Jesus. There's no 70% following Jesus. He requires it all. As a matter of fact, his language is so strong, we'll see this in just a little bit, that throughout the book of Luke, he talks about this idea of the kingdom. And if you missed last Tuesday, Reed Metcalf was teaching on the book of Luke, and he was talking about the kingdom of God. It was very powerful, really good stuff. I don't have time to get into it all this morning. That's why we kind of tag team. He teaches on Tuesday. I preach on Sundays, and hopefully by the time you get done with all of us, you've got a pretty good handle on the book of Luke. But Luke tells us very clearly that Jesus says this: if you want to be my disciple, okay? Now, Jesus didn't make converts, okay? So when we talk about evangelizing or whatever, we often think of converts, like I gave my life to Jesus, you raised your hand, you came forward, you're converted, you made it to heaven, you got your ticket, congratulations, right? That's not at all what Jesus calls us to do. Jesus calls us to come and die. First, it's come and see. We see that in the very beginning of the Gospels where they say, look, I think we found the Messiah, come and see. And then Jesus says, come and follow. And then ultimately, he says, come and die. As a matter of fact, we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 9 right now. And there's crowds that are following him now. He's been healing people. He's been, the news is beginning to spread about him all over the place. He's starting to get a reputation as a healer, as a teacher, as a prophet. And that's happening. And so Jesus says to them all, and he says to us this morning, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. That is not very American, is it, right? It's not very American. You're like, wow, that would not sell any Diet Cokes. And no, it won't. Must deny themselves. Take up their cross. And you and I, we think of cross as like, oh, that's cool. It's a symbol. It's a, got it around my neck, or maybe you got a tattoo of a cross or whatever it is, fine, whatever that is. For them, it meant take up your death, take up your electric chair, take up whatever thing that's going to mean that you're not going to be around anymore as far as you know it. Take up your cross daily, which I really actually appreciate Jesus's language there, because this is going to be a constant thing, even as your pastor, someone who gets paid to read the Bible. Every day I have to figure this out daily. How does the Lord want me to take up my cross daily and follow me? And then it goes on in a few verses later, Luke decides to write three kind of quick little snippets on some people who are not willing to do this. And Jesus gives some clarification. Luke chapter 9, verse 57, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Have you ever said that to Jesus? I have. Until he went down a road I didn't want to go down. And then I'm like, I'll wait here. And then when you come back, you just pick me up and we'll head down the way I want to go. Right? Right? You ever done that? I'll follow you wherever you go. And he's like, great, let's go. And he's like, well, actually, that looks like a big hill. And I haven't worked out in a long time. I don't want to go up that, right? I'll follow you wherever you go. Here's what Jesus says. It's one of my favorite verses. I know I say that a lot, but he says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. When you follow me, it's not a comfort journey. It's not, you know, we were joking about the Hilton. It's not the Hilton. It's not a Marriott. It's tough. Take up your cross daily. This is what he's calling you to do. And my goal for this morning was not to shame anybody or to make you feel guilty for making some mistakes this week and not following him and not giving it your all. My hope really is to come to you as a coach to say, you can do this. He wouldn't give us the commandment if it wasn't possible to do. And so I'm hoping by the end, when we're done this morning, that you'd recommit to this idea of, I'm going to give up my life for this. I'm going to give up my hopes, my dreams, my plans, my agenda, my trajectory, and I'm going to go before the Lord daily and say, Lord, what would you have me do today? So that's my goal. I let that cat out of the bag early, but you can be thinking about that. He has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. And then he says, but he replied, oh, yeah, you know what? So my dad's dying, and so I would follow you. I totally would, but I got to go bury my father, okay? Right? You ever done that? Like, I'm going to follow after this party tomorrow. I'm going to follow him, you know, right? I'm going to go on this date and that, and then I'm going to get my life together. I'm going to buy this thing, and then I'm going to, oh, man, and then I'm going to. Here's what Jesus says. This is brutal, honestly. The guy's talking about his dad dying, right? And Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. Wow, Jesus, that's cold. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now watch that phrase, because we're going to be seeing it throughout this morning. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord. I will follow you, Lord. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Right? Jesus says this, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. Once you make that decision, it's all in, guys. It's all in. We don't look back. We don't say, wow, man, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. I'm telling you, it's hard. He wants it all. He wants your whole life, every inch of it, every little piece, all of it. So we go from here. Jesus has these three followers that make excuses, or Jesus tells them how difficult it's going to be. And then we go into verse 10, and it's the he sends out 72 people. Now, we didn't go over this earlier, but earlier in chapter 9, Jesus had already sent out the 12. He sent out the 12, and he gave them specific instructions that are very similar to what we're going to see here. But this is now, he's advancing the kingdom. He's growing the kingdom. He's getting more and more people involved, okay? So after this, which is after he basically crushed those three people's dreams, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town. This is very important, to every town and place where he was about to go. This sending the 70 is just you and I. It's just the people who are following Jesus placed into service where he's going to go. In other words, you are at a job that maybe Jesus now wants to visit. Now, don't get all theological on me. Jesus is omnipresent. I know he's already at your job. I understand that. But I'm talking about a divine invitation, a divine appearance in your work, maybe in your school. If you're a student and you're in class, you're in that class as a representation of Jesus. You're in your family. As dysfunctional and jacked up as it is, you're in that family as a representation of Jesus if you're a follower of Jesus. He sends them out to go where he's about to go, where he's about to visit. In other words, he includes us into this advancement of the kingdom of God. That's frightening and exciting all at the same time, right? So that's what he does. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, okay? Gary was just talking about children's ministry, all right? Our children's ministry is growing. We need more workers, okay? So here's what he says. He kind of lets them off the hook, right? Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So you go, you know what, John? I'm going to commit to praying for children's ministry every day this week, because Jesus said, pray, and we should pray. Prayer is the minimum. You should pray. You should be praying for the people at your work, the people in your neighborhood, the people at your school, your family, your unbelieving friends, a spouse maybe that's getting close to following Jesus, all those, pray. The very next word, though, the very next word, he says, is the one I want you to start dwelling on this week. So pray, that's important. Go. Go. Wait, no, Jesus, you said to pray. I liked the prayer part because that makes me feel good. And I've prayed and I'm on my knees and I'm really serious about my prayer. And he's like, yes, I need you to pray and I need you to go. He's not letting us off the hook, you guys. There's no prayer and not go. It's pray and go. If something's on your heart, there's a really good chance that the Lord wants to solve that problem with you in the mix. Pray and then go. Now, these people, these 70 or 72, I can't get into why those two numbers are important, but it's the 70 nations in Genesis 10. Don't worry about it. But go, right? So he sends out these 70, two by two, right? Because this is how we minister. We minister together, right? We minister as a group, two by two. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Ah. Really? Come on. Why couldn't he have said, hey, I'm going to send you on a really cool adventure. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to go see some places you've never seen and do some things you've never done. No. He's like lambs among wolves. Now, I don't want to get into the biology of it all, but lambs don't do well against wolves. So you ever watch the Discovery Channel? They don't. They're fluffy like cotton balls that just kind of, they're like tumbleweeds of nature, right? Of just flesh. They're the bottom of the food chain. Wolves, on the other hand, are very, very dangerous. Jesus uses that. And then he says, I don't even want you to prepare. Now, you say to yourself, man, this is kind of crazy that Jesus sends them out. He says, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be, you're going to go out like lambs among wolves, okay? And then he says, don't take a purse or a bag, well, or a merce if you're a gentleman, or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. You're laser focused in your mission. Is that how you go to school? Is that how you go to your job? Is it when you wake up in the morning and go to your job, is it like, ah, oh, man, I gotta go with those people and my boss and she's crazy and my other boss is nuts and I'm looking for another job. Is that how? Or are you laser focused? Lord, I'm not prepared for this. I'm not ready for this. I'm going like a lamb to the slaughter, but you told me to go, and so I'm going to go. I'm going to grow where I'm planted, and right now you have me in this situation. You have me in this neighborhood. You have me in this house, in this family, in this school, in this workplace. Go. Like, but I'm not prepared. He's not asking you to be prepared. He's asking you to be faithful, which you can do regardless of whether you have a purse or a bag or sandals or anything else, or you know the whole Bible. We talked about this last week. The Lord isn't asking you to memorize the Bible. He's asking you to be obedient to the Bible you already know. That's what he's asking us to do. He wants it all. Daily take up our cross and follow him. He says, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? I have no idea. Okay, I don't know what that means. I tried to look. I saw a bunch of scholars have all sorts of ideas. But the idea is like, look, if as you begin to minister, if it's working out, stay there. If they're receptive, stay there. If not, because we'll see this a little later, then it's okay. It's not up to you. All that's up to you and I is to be faithful, to go, to pray and to go, to pray and to go. Well, I'm not going to go. See, but first, let me go. No, not but first. Well, I need to go. No, I don't know what to say. I'm not prepared. That's fine. He doesn't tell you to be prepared. He tells you to be faithful, right? So your peace will rest on you. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. If you're ministering and that's where you're planted, don't dream about ministering someplace else if you're being effective there. You don't visualize, man, if only, you ever done that? It would be so much easier if my family were different. And you look at someone else's family or you look at their kids and go, wow, kids can obey? That's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. Right? Or you look at someone's spouse. Oh, if only. That's not where the Lord has you. Stay. Don't move around. Don't try to make it better. Don't have FOMO about ministry. Minister where you are. You say, I'm not prepared. He's not asking you to be prepared. He's asking you to be faithful in that place of work, in that neighborhood, in your family. He says, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick. Okay, no, hold on. Okay, wait a minute. Heal the sick? What are you talking about? I don't have that power. All he's saying here is whatever gifts he's given you, use them. Right? For this particular missions, they were able to cast out demons, heal the sick, do all kinds of stuff. I don't know why that isn't as prominent as it was back then. I still believe all those things. But all he's saying is, look, the power that he's given you, if you have the gift of encouragement, go to your work and encourage. If he's given you the gift of hospitality, be hospitable. That's all he's saying. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. The kingdom of God has come near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go, this is tough, okay? When you go into your town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your own town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. The great theologian Taylor Swift says it this way, shake it off, shake it off, okay? I was waiting all week to say that joke. I'm not kidding. All week long. And then when I saw it, I'm like, here it comes. Okay. I'm sorry. Go to a church that takes the Bible seriously. That's what I do. Right? But this is so freeing to me, okay? Not to go into the street and, you know, wipe your feet off. But what he's saying is, look, I'm just asking you to be faithful. The outcome is up to the kingdom of God and how people receive it. It is not up to your preparation. It's not up to you to convince somebody. If I had only said that, have you ever thought about that? You ever been in a conversation with someone? You're talking about Jesus, and maybe you're new to the Bible or new to Jesus, but you're excited about your faith, and then you have you're in a conversation with someone, and they're like, well, if Jesus is real, how come there's pain in the world? And you're like, I don't know, you know? And you're just kind of, and then you think to yourself later, like, oh, you know what I should have said. What he's saying is, you don't have to worry about that. Don't worry about it. Go where he's asking you to go. Pray, go, be obedient, and the rest is up to Jesus, right? And then he goes into, he says, I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. I think he's just kind of encouraging them, like, don't worry about it. I'm not going to come back and have you give me a tally of how many people are going to follow me now. It's not about that. Don't worry about that. Woe to you, Chorazin, he says. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment day than for you. Now, to listen to this. And Capernaum. Now, if you remember when Jesus gave his first sermon in the synagogue, and everybody was like, wow, Jesus, that's awesome. He said, one day you're going to say this to me. Why didn't you do the signs in our hometown that you did in Capernaum? So this is not the first time Jesus has mentioned Capernaum. That was one of his home bases, and he did a lot of stuff there. And he says this, and I'll tell you why I say that. And Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you'll go down to Hades, right? So you're like, ooh, that's brutal. I won't translate that into modern English. But what he's saying is this. And this is, you know, we think in terms of this, like, yeah, wow, that city missed it. That city missed it. You know what I read when I read this? I missed it. I read it this way. John, you've seen so much. You've seen Jesus do so much. Why don't you have more faith? The kingdom of God has come so near to you. Like, it's come so close to you. You've seen lives transformed. You've seen all that. And then all of a sudden, giving dips down in the church, and you're like, oh, I wonder what we're going to do. And the Lord's like, dude, you've been here 19 years. Like, you've never missed a payment for any bill. I know, but this next bill, what about that one, Jesus, right? This is how I feel sometimes. And I don't know if you feel the same way. Of just like, man, I've seen so much, and yet I'm still in the space I'm in. And he goes on to this. Again, this is so freeing to us as he sends us out. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. Whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. This reminds me of John chapter 15. They wouldn't have had John chapter 15 at this time, where Jesus is having this really cool prayer, and he's talking about you abide in me and I abide in the Father, and this kind of this symbiotic relationship as us as ambassadors of Jesus as we go different places. That our only job is to preach the gospel, share our testimony as best we can, exercise our gifts, and leave everything else up to Jesus. When you get rejected for your faith, no, they're not rejecting you. It's not a microaggression, okay? Just you're going to have to just get over it. They're rejecting Jesus or the Jesus in you. And so it's so freeing to me that it's not like, man, people don't, you know, I don't know if you've ever had people make fun of your faith. I have many, many, many times. They're not making fun of me. It's just that they don't understand. They don't understand. So that's what he says. Now watch what happens. This is so cool. And this has been my experience every single time I've obeyed. Every single time Jesus said, hey, pray and go, pray and go, pray and go. And I'm like, I don't want to go. But first, at the times where I've been like, okay, I'll go, listen to this. The 72 returned with joy. They were like, Jesus, you'll never guess what happened. And this dialogue between Jesus and these followers to me is so sweet, because it reminds me of my conversations with Jesus, where I'm like, I get all excited and he's just like, bro, this could be every day if you want, right? Right? He says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Now that sounds pretty exciting, right? You're like, man, I don't know if I want to cast out a demon or not. He replied, it's just so encouraging. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, scholars argue about kind of what he means by this, because that's what they do. No offense, Reed. And they argue and try to figure this out. To me, this is just Jesus with the home team going, oh, great game. Great game. You guys tore it up. The opponent didn't have a chance. You guys did it, right? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Now listen, just so we're clear, I know I shouldn't have to say this, but there are some sects of Christianity that take this literally, and they like handle snakes. And if you want to see some funny YouTube videos, you can watch how that all ends. But that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, as much as the kingdom of heaven invades your life, it transforms everything. All your circumstances, everything you're going through at work, at school, your finances, your relationships, nothing will harm you. Because what he says after that is so amazing to me, because I think casting out demons is really cool. I would think that would be really cool. And handling snakes would be cool. And scorpions would be kind of cool too, right? If nothing could harm you, you're kind of like invincible. And yet Jesus says, however, right? So he just gives them something really cool. Like, I've given you the authority. You got it. Let's go. Oh, but, however, watch what he says. This is so cool. Don't rejoice in the spirit thing, in the demon thing, in the snake thing, in the scorpion thing. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in an eternal perspective. Isn't that amazing? You say, John, I have never cast out a demon before. Oh, that, don't worry about that. That's not what you should be excited about. John, I feel like when I go out and I try to do what the Lord would have me do, and I try to share my faith, and I try to do these, I talk to some Christians and they'll say, they led 7 people to the Lord. I haven't led 1 person to the Lord. Like, oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. That's not what you should be so excited about. Be excited that you know Jesus. Let it resonate. Let it sit. That, you know what, at the end of the day, no matter what happens, no matter who's elected in November, no matter what happens in whatever country that you're all upset about, I know Jesus. I know him, and he's transformed my life. And no matter what comes around that corner, no matter what diagnosis comes through the doctor, no matter what happens, you say, John, I want that. You can have that. Now watch. This is so neat. Jesus, I don't know what your picture of Jesus is, okay? It's like a white dude with blonde hair and blue eyes, and he's just like really, you know, somber, whatever. Or, you know, he's just very uptight, okay? Or he's angry at you. Maybe that's the Jesus that you think about or whatever. This is the Jesus. This next verse is the Jesus I know. You ready? At that time, now remember, he's talking to the home team, okay? He's talking to the home team. At that time, Jesus, full of joy. Do you know that when you take your steps of obedience and you trip up and you mess up and you, I mean, they came back with joy saying the demons, but I'll bet they also had some stories like, oh man, remember when you said eat everything that they give to you? Do you know, oh, that lady could not cook. It was terrible. I didn't know how to hide it. I didn't know. They probably had those stories just like you and I would have, right? But when you obey, regardless of the outcome, Jesus is full of joy through the Holy Spirit because it's working. He says this, I praise you, Father. Now he's talking to his heavenly Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things. And I can't prove this. I don't know, but I can almost promise you he did air quotes, okay? You have hidden these things from the wise and learned, right? Because they're not wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. That's, you know, how inclusive that is, you guys. No matter where you are in your faith, maybe it's day 2 for you. Maybe it's today's the first day. Maybe today we pray a prayer and you say, you know what, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, says, oh yeah, we got another little one. We got another little one. Wise and learned and revealed them to little children. And then it says this, yes, Father, for this was what you were pleased to do. You know, it's mi primera quinceañera ayer. It was my first quinceañera yesterday, okay? And I'd never been to one. And they're very fancy, by the way. White people should do something like that. But I will say this. My pocketbook says I'm glad we don't do that, right? Okay? So, because that thing was expensive. All right. Anyway, but... The thing that was so cute, so there's this, you know, you've got Ava, who's, you know, the girl, and, you know, this is her step into her next chapter of her life, and there's pomp, and there's circumstance, and there's an agenda, and then there are these little kids. They're on the dance floor. They're not supposed to be on the dance floor, but they don't know. And they're dancing, and they're just jumping around and jumping all over each other. And that's why I love this next sentence. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. He loves you as his child. You see, man, I mess up. I do the wrong thing. And, you know, I make jokes, and I'm not supposed to. Like, all these different things. He's fine with that. He's not a stuffy God, because Jesus wasn't stuffy. And Jesus is the exact representation of your Heavenly Father. And he's pleased to do that. He says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal them. Then he turned to his disciples. Now, this is really cool. The 70 were not the disciples. He had sent out the disciples in chapter 9. Then he sends out 70 others. So the disciples were with him. And this is what he says to his disciples. Because what he's trying to get them to see is a picture of what the church is supposed to look like. He says, guys, look at this. Do you see what happened with these 70? When I leave, now that's not what he says, but you'll see it in a second. When I leave, this is what you're going to continue to do. Pray and go. Pray and go. Pray and go. He looks at him, he goes, hey, you guys, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. You see that? You got a glimpse of the kingdom. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. I'll end with this as the worship band comes back up. We're going to skip to Luke chapter 14 because I want to make sure we end with this somber approach. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. That's cool. Ministry's going great. Isn't that good? Awesome. Mega church. And turning to them, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, wait, huh? His father and mother. Okay, wait a second. If anyone, let me read this right. Okay. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, huh? Such a person cannot be my disciple. Oh my gosh. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. You know why Jesus is harsh like that? Because there's too much at stake. There's too much at stake for the world, for our culture. There's too much at stake for our own lives. Remember what the 70 said. Man, the kingdom of God has come near to you. It's like, oh, it's right there. You can almost reach out and touch it. When Jesus is saying, hey, don't miss it. Don't miss the kingdom of God in your life. Whatever he's asking you to do, wherever he's asking you to go, there's not a but first let me or oh, I really need to or whatever. Pray, go. I'm not prepared. You don't need to be prepared. Just obey. Tanner's going to play one more song, and we open up the stage for people who want to come and kneel. Sorry, we normally have cushions down. We don't have them there. But if you want to come and kneel, every week I like to come down and kneel and pray after the sermon just to kind of reset for my week, to give anything that's a burden of mine to the Lord. Maybe the Lord has spoken to me during my own sermon and said, bro, you got to address that. That's where I address that. And so for you, maybe you're the same way. Maybe you're like, you know what? As an act of submission, I'm just going to go up and pray. And nobody cares, or you want to sit in the chair or whatever. That's fine. That's fine as well. But I'd ask you this. Is there something he wants you to pray for that you're not praying for? Something that's on your heart? Maybe there's something you're anxious about, but you're not praying about it. Let me just tell you, the anxiety won't go away. If you're just being anxious, that doesn't solve anything. So maybe you go, you know what? I'm just really upset about my work. Maybe you need to pray. And then is there any place he wants you to go that you're not going? Anything he wants you to do? My prayer is that you would see Jesus for who he is. One that celebrates with you when you obey. One that says, oh, I've given you all this authority. Just go, get it done. Lord Jesus, as we listen to a message that for some is difficult, there's a cross that needs to be picked up, there's a life that needs to be laid down in order to follow you. And Lord, for some of us in this room, we know exactly what we're supposed to do. We knew it before we even came to church. As a matter of fact, we weren't even going to come to church because we knew we were going to have to address it. So, Lord, Lord, I pray for those people. I pray for those who have been listening to your word and go, you know what? I think he just spoke to me. Lord, I pray you'd give them boldness to follow through. For those who are hurting, Lord God, those I pray for healing. Lord, for those who might want special prayer and they go to the cross and have people lay hands on them, Lord, I pray they'd sense your spirit through that. That you would be honored in their life and glorified. We thank you for that, Lord. In your name, amen. Now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray you would go in his joy and in his obedience and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, and we will see you in 5 minutes.